I'm Helen Chickering with BPR News. In 1976, before climate change was really on the public radar, North Carolina created the State Climate Office. Today, it's the second largest state climate office in the country. And this summer, Kathy Dello took the helm, becoming the first woman to serve as North Carolina's state climatologist. Dello was in Asheville this week and stopped by our studio to talk about her role as state climatologist. I may be wrong, but I don't think it's common knowledge that North Carolina has a state climatologist. Does every state have one? And help us understand what you do.
So most states have a state climatologist. Here in North Carolina, it's through the UNC system. I'm located at NC State University. I'm a university employee. I do a lot of everything because climate and weather touches everything and everyone. We do a lot of original research, and we're working with people who have to make some sort of decision that weather or climate is influencing. We run our own weather network. It's called the EcoNet. We have 43 sites around the state. We share one of them with South Carolina, and there are a few located nearby, including one at UNC Asheville. And we do a lot of outreach and education. We're working with folks to understand North Carolina's weather and climate and how it impacts them.
Can you take us through a typical day of North Carolina's state climatologist?
Well, I am everywhere. Earlier this week, I was in Nags Head, and now I'm up here in Asheville, so both sides of the state. And I'm out meeting with folks and understanding what their climate concerns are. The way I like to phrase it is what keeps you up at night in terms of climate, and then figure out how we can help them understand what climate means to them. We have a staff of 10 at NC State, and they're also out around the state doing talks, doing research, maintaining the EcoNet. And I'm also out in the community. I give a lot of public talks. I meet with school groups. I talk with grad students. So really no day is the same as the one before.
You mentioned research. Can you tell us more about the kind of research that goes on at the State Climate Office?
Yeah, we have a few funded projects right now with the state of North Carolina, understanding how precipitation impacts transportation infrastructure. We work a lot with the agricultural community, understanding how pests and diseases may impact certain crops under certain climate conditions. We work with the federal agencies to understand drought and drought communications. And we're working right now on this really fascinating project with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to help them understand how future climate may change some species ranges.
That is so interesting. Okay, speaking of future climate, we can't talk to North Carolina's climatologists without asking about climate change. This is a state with mountains, beaches, such interesting topography. Your thoughts?
The extreme nature of the state, which you mentioned, the topography, means that we have a number of challenges even over a short distance. So here, Asheville's historically on record the driest in the state, and Lake Toxaway, just 40 miles away, is the wettest. So over just a short distance, we have big changes in climate. Then we're also changing the climate on top of that. We have a lot of area at sea level, or just a little bit above, and some of these inland communities are getting flooded from both sides when a hurricane comes in and water's coming down the river in a wet year like last year. And then I think the thing to me that jumped out the most, I moved here from the Northwest and started researching what the climate impacts of North Carolina would be in the future. And public health is so huge. Thinking about extreme heat, thinking about people who are working outside who may not have sufficient access to cooling, and all these insect borne diseases.
I'd like to get your thoughts specifically about this region, about Western North Carolina.
Here in Western North Carolina, we still have to worry about flooding. So we often go to the coastal plain or the coast when we think about flooding, but these high intensity rainfall events in a city like Asheville can absolutely swamp out some of the infrastructure that wasn't designed for climate change. You have these beautiful forests that I saw driving in, and those are certainly under threat in climate change, either insects or diseases moving in, or maybe certain tree species can no longer be supported in a certain temperature or certain climate.
And then also the risk of wildfire.
Yeah, so where I come from in the West, it was certainly in our faces. We had a few really smoky summers these past few years, but here in Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee, I think back to the Gatlinburg fire, and a number of people died in that fire. And the way that fires burn here is just completely different. And they tend to smolder and last for a really long time. And here in North Carolina, we're in a pretty precarious place where if we don't get rain for even 2 months, we descend into some pretty dry conditions. Our soils dry out. We have fuel available to burn, and these fires can start. So certainly wildfire is a concern, and we have a lot of folks living right up next to the forest or in the forest in the wildland-urban interface. So another social vulnerability.
I imagine you and your staff spend a lot of time answering climate change forecasting questions. You probably get a lot thrown your way.
Everybody wants to know what this means for North Carolina. We've all seen the picture of the polar bear floating on the ice, but the compelling stories are those of the communities that are dealing with climate change right now. The communities where people have had to retreat because they're too close to a river that always floods, or they've had to leave their coastal property. And these aren't easy conversations to have, but connecting folks with solid science, ground-tested research, peer-reviewed research, and letting them use the science to inform their decisions. We at the Climate Office don't subscribe to any particular policy. We are happy to give you the science to help inform policy, but we're not policymakers.
Got it. So your focus is the science, but the findings tend to be a bit dismal, a bit depressing. Does that take a toll on you and your office, on climate scientists in general?
It does, and this has come up in recent years, the amount of stress and trauma that it causes climate scientists talking about this, going out to communities and seeing people directly impacted by climate change. And there are times where I feel like I say these things so often, you can probably tell I have some canned responses ready, that it almost desensitizes me a little bit, but then I snap back into it and think, this is absolutely impacting people, and this is really difficult. You have to turn it off sometimes. A lot of people ask me if I've seen the latest climate movie or read the latest climate book, and that's not what I do with my spare time. I spend enough time thinking about the climate and worrying about the climate, and as a citizen of North Carolina, I'm absolutely concerned. But having outlets, having trusted mentors and colleagues in the field to just kind of decompress with or reach out to when things do feel overwhelming has been really helpful.
That's Kathy Dello, North Carolina's state climatologist, who stopped by our studios here in Asheville. You can find out more about her position, the State Climate Office, and much more, the EcoNet, lots of resources and links. Just scroll down. I'm Helen Chickering, BPR News.